You know, I've been paddling these rivers for 20 years, but it's a new time every time. And I think it encourages us to be in the present moment, really connect with the actual water element, the actual river environment, but also who you're with. And so you're connecting with the water, you're connecting with yourself, because you're quieting your mind. And that to me is such a spiritual experience. You know, how I show up on the river is how I like to show up in life. That's been like, the river's got a lot of lessons.
What do you do when you come out as LGBTQ and love the outdoors? What do you do when you see the outdoor space ruled by older white cis men and desire a diverse community of outdoor lovers? Accept it, change it, create it. I am Justin Yoder, and this is LGBT Outdoors. Hey everyone, we are so glad that you are tuning in for another episode today. We have kind of a little bit of an unusual one, I think, that's going to come to you, but I feel like we're good at creating unique and unusual podcast episodes for you. It keeps you on your toes, at least. As you can tell, I have a couple co-hosts with me today. I have Patrick Thompson again.
Hey, everybody.
And JC Rianton.
Hi, everyone. What's up?
How you boys doing?
Good. Tired. Well, you and I went camping all weekend. As awesome as it is and fantastic, it's like when you get back to civilization, you're just like, ugh.
Yeah. Well, we went for 4 days too, so it was a little bit longer than usual. But we'll talk about that more in just a second. JC, how are you doing?
I mean, I'm doing good. I mean, I think this past weekend that we had, it was very eventful, and I feel like I was living vicariously through everyone else's posts, because unfortunately we did not get a total, the path of totality was not in Colorado. So I was watching all of the posts and the videos and everything. It looked incredible. I wish I was there to see it in person.
Did you see any like partial?
You know what? When I walked my dogs, I saw on the shadow, because you're supposed to see the crescent shape shadows.
Right.
So I did see that.
Okay, cool.
But I didn't have the glasses. I wasn't going to look up.
You did try to look up without the glasses?
No.
Smart.
Brian, my husband, told me, well, if you don't have that, you could like use your front-facing camera on your cell phone and just like watch it from a selfie. I'm like, that's too much to think about. And but I mean, I just judging from like how everyone was posting about it, like it just looked amazing.
Did you see our LGBT Outdoors? I went live on the LGBT Outdoors Instagram during the totality of it. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw. Well, I saw it afterwards because you made it into a reel, right? Like after.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could see like the sky was dark. But like you pointed it up at the sky, and there were some moments where you did see like the dark center.
It was hard to see it on the video, but I think the most impressive thing with the video was how fast it went from daylight. Well, the daylight fading took a while, but once it was totally dark, how fast it became daylight again. Like, and it was so amazing because like, I would be totally transparent. I going into this couldn't care less about the eclipse. I was just like, yeah, okay, whatever. It's a good reason to go camping. And then during it, I was just like, holy shit, this is cool. Like, yeah. I couldn't believe how dark it got. We could see planets. We could hear the frogs start chirping. The night lights around the campground popped on. Like, it was amazing.
It was really, really cool. Like, it was, for me, it was kind of like a breathtaking, like, I'm absolutely stunned at what's happening kind of moment. And to see it with my own eyes, and not through the lens of a camera or on Instagram or something, I'm very, very fortunate. It was just wild and surreal, and grateful because it was very, very cloudy in Texas and stormy actually. And the clouds parted, you know, pretty much just in time for like that totality moment, which I don't think the word totality has been used so much as it has been in the last 48 hours. it's super cool. I know that there's another one in like 20 years or whatever. And if you're anywhere near the path of totality, I strongly recommend that you get to go see it because it is really something else.
Yeah, definitely. Well, should we jump in with our guest?
Yes.
As usual, as I always say, we've got a great episode lined up for you.
And you're never wrong.
I'm glad we have that recorded. Everybody has officially heard my husband tell me I am never wrong. So thanks for that.
Hey, might edit that out. We'll see.
Yeah, unfortunately, Patrick does the editing. Let's see if this stays in or not. Jewel has been whitewater kayaking, pack rafting, and rafting at Alaskan River since 2007. She's passionate about being in the mountains while using pack rafts for wilderness exploration and whitewater access. She's the founder and owner and primary instructor of the Alaska Pack Rafting School. Jewel is an ACA certified pack raft and also whitewater kayak instructor. She's invested in the development of river sports and supporting the water community. She serves on the board for the ACA Safety Education and Instructional Council's Pack Rafting Endorsement and also the American Pack Rafting Association's Alaska Regional Chapter. She and the board are advocating for the APA and recruiting new members to help support its core values. An organization invested in its community supports pack raft education, river access, and stewardship. Jewel wrote and published the Alaska Pack Rafting Guidebook, Premier Rivers and Creeks in the 49th State, the first ever pack rafting specific whitewater guidebook, highlighting 70 of Alaska's best runs ranging from class 1 through 4. When she's not on the river, Jewel lives in Girdwood, Alaska, and spends time immersing herself in Eastern wisdom traditions of yoga and Ayurveda, but also entertaining random cabin projects and going on silly costume dance theme parties with friends. In the off-season, Jewel works as a part-time mental health counselor specializing in trauma, addiction, substance abuse, mental health struggles while integrating yoga therapy, Ayurveda modalities, and meditation as healing paradigms. But she also thinks that you'll find life's medicine and answers just by being on the river. Go with the flow and force nothing. All you can do is steer your ship. We also have our Alaska ambassador joining us, who is Justin Bickley. And Justin returned to Alaska in 2022 from Arizona of a transient life, moving around the world. He studied at the University of Hawaii and Northern Arizona University to become an elementary school teacher, and he taught for 5 years. Ultimately, he left teaching in search of a way to become more connected with the outdoors. Justin discovered pack rafting and fell in love with it because it allowed him to connect to the water in a deeply spiritual way. If he is not pack rafting, he can be found in the mountains, skiing, pack rafting, rock climbing, fishing, or sitting on a rock, taking it all in. Justin and Jewel, welcome to the LGBT Outdoors podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here and hang out with everybody.
Likewise. We've got quite the group tonight. And not to make a pun right off the bat, but we got a lot to unpack with the two of you.
Nice.
So before we go into this whole venture of Alaska and the pack rafting, I would love both of you, whichever one wants to go first, to elaborate a little bit more on who you are, what maybe your childhood was like. Justin, I would love to know how you found out about us and decided to become an ambassador. And you've already had at least one event. You're a little bit on the newer side, but just kind of share with our audience a little bit about who you are and your passions and wherever that leads.
Yeah. So I moved up to Alaska in 2022, like you said, and I came up here originally just for the summer. I was going to be a summer camp counselor for the summer, and then it turned into I met a guy and decided to stay. Didn't want to go back and started pack rafting and started doing all this stuff outside. And it just felt like I was making plans already for things that hadn't happened yet and that were going to happen after I was supposed to leave and go back to Arizona. And so I was just like, I guess I can't go back. So I'm sticking around. And I found a job teaching, realized that that really wasn't it for me. And ended up taking a pack rafting course with Jewel. And I spent the entire time complaining about teaching and complaining about my job. And Jewel told me, she was signing my pack raft guidebook that I got from her at the end of the course. And she wrote in it, quit your job, pack raft more.
Wow.
And so I reached out to Jewel a few weeks later and I said, I'm ready to quit my job. What can we do? You have something that you need help with? Do you have any jobs that you're looking to hire people for? And we figured out what position I'm in now, doing admin stuff as the executive assistant for the Alaska Pack Raft School. And that's kind of how I got established up here. Yeah, it was perfect. It was all ask the universe, Jewel shows up, right? And it's been awesome. And we said, you said in my intro that I returned to Alaska. I had grown up here when I was younger. I was preschool to second grade, lived here with my family. Dad was military, so we moved around a ton. And that was the longest that I lived somewhere. And it's the earliest that I remember memories. And everything's kind of picturesque in that time. And I was in Alaska for it. And it was absolutely gorgeous, super connected to the outdoors. And then started moving around and then figured out I was gay, went into the closet. And so then I spent the next, 10 years in the closet and was never really present anymore in the world. Like anywhere, what I was doing, I wasn't socially connected. I was always kind of just pretending. Everything was a facade. Went through that struggle, came out after high school, did a bunch of soul searching and a bunch of mental health work and all kinds of stuff. And then probably 7 years after high school and after coming out, I decided that I was kind of ready to go back to kind of figuring out who I am. And the place that that had to happen was Alaska, because it was where I remembered where I really let myself get connected to a place the last time. Like everything else had just been kind of drifting around. So I came back up here and that's been, I don't know, that's kind of my journey in a, in a nutshell. But the outdoors in Alaska is really kind of where I've reconnected with the person that I've always been, but haven't really let myself connect with.
That's
awesome.
Amazing. Question. So you grew up in Alaska and then you left. What part of Alaska did you grow up in?
In Eagle River, just outside of Anchorage. So right where I'm at now.
When you came down to, you know, the lower 48, how do you remember that? I feel like that would be like a pretty hefty culture shock.
Yeah, it was. It was extremely tough leaving friends. I had let myself connect with friends and stuff for the first time in my life and for the last time for a long time. And then we moved to Alabama from here to Prattville, just outside of Montgomery. And people along the way, we told people we were driving. And the further we got into the South, we would tell people that we were driving from Alaska and they would say things like, how? Like, it's an island on the corner of the map. Like, you can't, is there a bridge? Like, how do you drive from Alaska? And so there's just like all this realization that I was coming from somewhere that was completely foreign to everybody else.
Right.
Before we jump to Jewel, I have a question for you as well. What do you find that the LGBTQ community is like in Alaska? And as far as it being a state that is it more welcoming, or because I feel like most people's minds don't go there, but I think a lot of the queer community that thinks and loves the outdoors would love to visit Alaska. It's kind of one of those outdoor romantic thoughts that everybody wants to go have an adventure in Alaska, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I got up here and we have family friends from when I was little that I spent some time with when I initially got back up here. But then I ended up going on a date with a guy, and our date was fly fishing we weren't fly fishing that trip. We were snagging salmon in Seward in Resurrection Bay. And so he dropped me his coordinates and was like, come find me out in the water. And so I just like put on waders. He left waders in the bed of his truck. And he told me where his truck was, what color it was, and said, grab the waders from the bed of the truck and just like come find me in the coordinates. It's like 100 meters out into the ocean, like into the bay. And so I'm just like walking out there, just wading out into the water, got fishing pole over my shoulder. And there's like 50 people like lined up snagging salmon. So you're like casting and you're just trying to catch up, like hook the salmon with these big hooks. It's a very subsistence fishing method. To try and get as many salmon as you can. And we're out there and I'm just kind of like looking around trying to find him, and there's the sun behind him. So there's just like 50 people and they're all shadows. And so I find like a little rock to sit down on and start journaling. And I'm just like writing about this whole experience, 'cause it's nuts. I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? What the heck am I doing here? that was kind of just like my first, and like it turns out he sees me sitting on the rock and comes over, and we meet each other and start chatting and stuff. And that was my boyfriend that I ended up staying here for. But then I kind of just found my way through that into a community of like an incredibly welcoming LGBT community up here. There's running groups and stuff that everybody gets outside and does stuff together. But more than anything, it's really, I've found that nobody, not to diminish anything, but nobody really cares. Like everybody just is about welcoming everybody into the outdoors and sharing this together, and also letting everybody else do what works for them, and connect with nature and the environment in ways that works for them and what's best for them. And everybody's pretty open in that regard.
Wow. I love that.
That's awesome. So we've talked about this before on another episode, but like, do you know it's gone to the right place when it's normalized and like being gay is not a big deal at all? And it's just like, you know?
Yeah,
like, right.
You could just be.
I like walk around as a friend visited me, and we were walking around downtown in Anchorage, and she was just like, I'm blown away by how many gay people there are here. And I was just like, I have no idea. Like, I don't notice it anymore, and nobody really thinks about it, and it's not like a point of discussion, and nobody like, it's interesting to hear that.
But I'm gonna throw out some bonus points for that first date. That's pretty darn great and unique and definitely memorable. It sounds cheesy, but sounds like you snagged more than a salmon that day.
Listen, I was going to make some sort of like fish in the ocean kind of joke. I couldn't. Yeah, no, there was no way I was going to land it.
There you go. All right, so I want to jump to Jewel a little bit. Before I do, I am going to mention this because I meant to do this in the intro and it slipped by me, and we're going to talk more about it at the end. But LGBT Outdoors is planning to do an Alaska pack rafting trip with Justin and Jewel in July. So I wanted to mention this up front so that you can kind of be prepared for that at the end, and we'll give you some more details about that. But Jewel, tell us more about who you are.
Oh, wow. Where to start? I grew up in the Midwest, and I was real corn-fed, real genuinely from Iowa. That's how I felt. And I always loved being outside. And some of, I think, my love of being outside came from not wanting to be inside my house with my family. I had a rough go at it growing up. You know, like sibling rivalry. There's four of us. They're my best friends now. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad, for creating us. But I was really, you know, I think I had a hard go at it, you know, in my early years in my youth, and the family dynamic and, you know, sense of self and who I was and no self-love anywhere and a lot of destructive patterns and habits. And when I was 18, I was like, I am out of here. I'm going to go find myself, whatever that looks like. But I don't think it's in Iowa, you know, drinking Busch Light and watching my yard grow. So I had always been into hiking and been into, I had never seen mountains or the ocean. You know, I was 18 and I was like, I'm going to Alaska because this is as far away as I can get and be in the country. I packed up my really, really not reliable Honda Accord. And I met a boy at a summer camp and he's like, I live in Alaska. And I was like, cool, I'm coming to you. and so that was my big road trip, you know, driving across country, seeing the ocean, driving through mountains. And I was like, whoa, the world is a big place. Like I'd barely left the Midwestern tri-state, Wisconsin, Illinois, Iowa area, you know, until I was 18. And so I went up to Alaska and just got my world blown. You know, the mountains, the people, the culture, and you know, kind of like Justin said, the culture is, I feel like a lot of people from Alaska, we say the lower 48, or, you know, the rest of America came from lower 48, you know, with this desire to do what they want to do and be who they want to be. So there's so many weird people up here doing their own weird things and everyone supports it. And I was like, all right, my people.
That's so good.
Oh man. And I, you know, so I moved here when I was 18, you know, I'm 36. I've traveled all over the world, adventuring and, exploring our beautiful globe, but I always come back to Alaska. This is where I live, where I love it. And so eventually, you know, I started going to school like a lot of young minds do. And I, you know, I always loved people. Yeah. I didn't know that at the time, cause I was always trying to avoid people growing up. Spent a lot of time alone, you know, in the woods or in the, you know, cornfields and people's yards in Iowa. So I started, really coming into myself, moving to Alaska, and I was like, wow, I love being outside and wow, I really love people. So I studied psychology at Alaska Pacific University. I got my undergrad there, but that university has such a rich and an awesome, outdoor program. And so that was my immersion into doing all things wilderness travel or outdoor recreation related. I started rock climbing, sea kayaking, backpacking, rafting, you know, got into mountaineering, got into skiing. And it's like, whatever you like to do, Alaska is like an excellent place to do it. And so I started really exploring a lot of outdoor pursuits as I was kind of studying social sciences and the human mind and the soul. I got into yoga at that time, you know, and I didn't know it because I was, you know, running from my home, running from Iowa, but I had a lot of unresolved trauma and mental health situations in the Alaska community. And being in nature and impressive mountains really helped me unpack and explore what I didn't know was there. And so, you know, I think in that paradigm, the work is never done. I'm not like healed, right? We're all healing and growing and evolving all the time. And so this, you know, the light in my heart started shining when I started playing outside. So I started working as a wilderness guide, guiding a lot of youth backpacking, bike packing and sea kayaking and river trips, as my summer job. And then I go back to school and work some weird job where you get minimum wage. And then in the summer, I would go back out into the wilderness. And that was my program for a while. When I graduated, I started full-time wilderness guiding year-round, primarily in Alaska. And I was doing a lot of extended wilderness expeditions. Sea kayaking, rafting, backpacking, and pack rafting, you know, between 8 and 14 days. So I'd be like in the wilderness, you know, for like four and a half months of the year. And that was my seasonal income. And then I'd spend the rest of my year bopping around the world, exploring mountains and rivers, and then trying to come back when I ran out of money, you know, working as a barista or then a yoga instructor as I began studying yoga, which has been really such a powerful and transformational backbone in my life. Learning how to take care of my body has helped me learn how to take care of my mind. So after a while, though, I had this existential crisis living in Alaska. I was like, you know, I'm only a guide and my friends are teachers, they're doctors, or they're starting businesses. And I'm like, all I do is take people in the woods. So I had this, like, you know, return of Saturn. If you're into astrology, I'm like 25 years old, 26 years old. I'm like, this is all I am. I was like, it's so awesome, but I think there's more. And I, it's funny, when I was little, I always wanted to become a therapist. I didn't know why, but I like the idea of like the counsel or the counselor relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, who do I go to when I need help? And so I went to graduate school and I started studying. I did two graduate programs. I studied Ayurveda, which is yoga's sister science. It's a very holistic approach with lifestyle therapy to help the mind and the body rediscover the soul. And so I was studying Ayurveda. And I was getting really into lifestyle medicine and how you can be your best self with how, in regards to how you treat yourself. And then I was starting to see, when I was starting to see patients, I was like, you know, unless I have a license, I'm this like hippie voodoo witch doctor. So I know I ended up like, my person who knows about herbs. And that helped me so much. Just this light went off. Like, I would love to help people in the way that I feel like I've been healed. So I studied, like traditional Western therapy paradigms, as a talk therapist. And so I've been practicing that. And then that existential crisis disappeared. So I was wilderness guiding in the summer. And then my off season hustle, I was working as a therapist and I started a private practice. I called it integrative wellness, focusing on talk therapy and lifestyle medicine, to help people with trauma and addictions and anxiety and depression and PTSD. And that's still a passion of mine. So it's been really fun to watch myself evolve and be, and then, you know, whatever light inside of me, you know, shine it and share it with others. And then I've been doing that in the wilderness work, but especially in the counseling and the therapy worlds. And then COVID happened. if you're a guide or you're a healthcare provider, all of a sudden, you know, you don't have any work. And that was actually for me, it was a blessing in disguise. So I wasn't working the COVID summer. And I've been a whitewater enthusiast all the while. I love exploring nature and mountains and so many different methods and so many different sports, but I love floating. I'm a floater, kayaking, rafting, pack rafting. I got into pack rafting when I moved up to Alaska. If you don't know what pack rafting is, it's this weird multi-sport where you essentially have like an inflatable kayak, but it's smaller, it weighs less, it's much more capable to handle river features. In Alaska, there's not a lot of roads, so you can't just drive your boat up to the thing and get on the thing all the time. There are road runs, but a lot of the beauty of pack rafting is in the approach. So you can go hiking and then you get to this sweet river or sweet lake, you blow your boat up and then there you are. That was always my favorite activity. And I had been really avid in that community since I'd moved here when I was 19. And so I'd pack rafted hundreds of rivers in Alaska. I have definitely lost count. And pack rafting as a sport really started blowing up in that COVID summer. I was like, I had a light bulb go off. I meditate a lot and I call them downloads. I got this download. And it was like, you're going to write a book. And I was like, what? Cool. And I thought it was going to be on Ayurveda and wellness and yoga and mental health. And I started writing it and I was going nowhere fast. So I tabled that. And then another light bulb went off. I was like, wow, we need a pack raft guidebook. We can talk more about pack rafting later, but the sport is really blown up, and that's a joke because they're inflatable boats. really blown up. And I was like, wow, there haven't been, I got into pack rafting just as the sport had started. And so to watch the evolution of the sport, and while I was getting into it, was really cool being friends with the boat designers and the people who were doing some really cool stuff that was very progressive and innovative at the time. They were my friends. And so we kind of, you know, we felt like we co-created the sport and I was along for that ride. And that was, I was like, wow, I can write a guidebook. Cool. And my ex-boyfriend had written an Alaska whitewater guidebook and my friend had just came out with the pack raft handbook. a how-to guide with all the skills involved and how many different ways you can use the sport. So I had a lot of people on my team. And I was like, thanks, universe. I've got all these tools. And I almost say in a way the book wrote itself. And so it just I feel like you do nothing great by yourself. It's usually with the help of others around you. And so the universe kept dropping me sweet treats and putting great people in my path that helped me create this great book. It's been in print for 3 years. And so that was the COVID project. And I was like, wow, not working is so fun. All I did was go on trips and go boating. I thought it was photographed. So fun. And that's another light bulb went off. I was like, wow, I should start my own business doing this. I love not just guiding and being with people in the wilderness. I love being in the woods. I love being on the water. But teaching people how to do it as safely as they can, and how whatever their goals and hopes and dreams are with their boats or their outdoor desires, helping them access that. And as a counselor, I like teaching and guiding and being with humans. So that was kind of how the school was born, the Alaska Backcraft School. And I'd been guiding for 15 years beforehand. And I think anyone that does anything for 15 years, eventually you start your own business or you do your own.
Right. You know, at some point,
yeah. No, seriously, you know, like, you know, you see it in healthcare, you see it in construction. I don't know. And so I launched the Alaska Backcraft School. This is our third year operating. And it is really just warmed my heart at how all these passions together have kind of blown up. And then, too, that's how Justin and I met each other. He's a student at the Alaska Backcraft School. So with the guided trips and the courses we teach getting people on the water in Alaska. That's me in a nutshell. And there's so many other projects and fun hustles going on. But I'm here. I'm in Alaska, and I am stoked to go boating and share it with anyone else who hears the word Alaska, and they're like, "Ooh, I've heard about that."
So yeah, everyone, yeah. Everyone. Pretty much.
Kool-Aid. It's good in Alaska. It's really great up here. The school's been really blowing up. It's been really growing, and we're offering a lot of different really fun and exciting things. And a lot of that has been, Justin's been my partner in crime. When I wrote his job description, it was, the business started as just Jewel. It was the Jewel Show. Like, I'm teaching everybody. And last year, you know, we had 8 part-time staff, and now the staff team is growing. Justin is the first full-time staff. And I call him not the assistant. I call him the sidekick. He's the executive sidekick for the background. Nice.
This episode of the LGBT Outdoors podcast is brought to you by the Monterey Bay Aquarium, where you can experience the wonder beneath the waves and celebrate your connection to the ocean. Join Monterey Bay Aquarium in advocating for a healthy ocean. Together, we can tackle climate change and stop plastic pollutions at the source. Sign up for the Ocean Action email to learn how you can protect the oceans that connect us all at montereybayaquarium.org/act. Take your indoors, outdoors, or spacious skies campgrounds, a collection of 15 campgrounds and RV parks spanning the eastern United States. Each location is unique, but all offer the perfect escape to the great outdoors if you're looking to spend quality time with your friends and family, or simply need a scenic home base for your nearby adventures. Choose from RV sites, cabins, yurts, retro RV rentals, or tent sites, and enjoy on-site amenities that offer convenience, creature comforts, and fun. Visit spaciousskiescampgrounds.com for more information and easy online booking. We welcome and invite all campers to camp on the Spacious Skies Campgrounds. So you have this school. What does that entail exactly? So obviously you're teaching people how to pack raft. That's easy. That's easy to comprehend that that's what you're doing with it. But like, how long does it last? And what is the goal by the time they graduate or they complete it?
Ooh, so we teach a lot of courses, and it really depends where people are at. There's 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. We do week-long courses, and kind of, I don't want to just like read you my mission statement, but I can. It's high vibe guides, leaders in pack raft education and skills courses. where our courses focus on paddling skills and boat control needed to push deeper into the wild rivers of Alaska. We also teach self and group rescue techniques. Rivers are inherently dangerous, and so accepting the risk, acknowledging it, but learning to identify and reduce it. So rescue techniques, risk management, trip planning, and good on the water decision making. We've been saying high vibe guides because this is more than a job for the instructors and the guides. This is their life. It is their passion. So when you have a good teacher, it's like they show you the light. They can't do the thing for you, but they can help you access how to do it. That's what we try to do for pack rafting. Help people get on water, whether it's a lake or river or an ocean, or get out really and explore Alaska. And Alaska is such raw, raw, awesome wilderness. There's not as many trails as there are in other parts of the world. So the land travel is something we teach in our expedition courses. And then also the water travel and the skills and the safety and the gear necessary to kind of put it all together into the multi-sport that it is.
Love that.
That sounds awesome.
What's for people that are like kind of listening to this and, they're going to be able to see photos of what this actually looks like. But a couple of people have asked me, well, what's the main differences between pack rafting and inflatable kayaks?
I won't get super nerdy, but I'll try to explain some basics. I'm a water nerd, so I can talk gear and boats all day long. so there's a hard shell kayak, right? Like that's plastic. Sure. And that is very, very tippy. And I'm also a hard shell kayaker. That's very fun. I love hard shell kayaking. Kind of feels like a sports car. These bigger inflatable boats, so inflatable kayaks, inflatable pack rafts, they're modeled similarly. So when I say raft, we're not in the raft. Like there's not eight of us in the pack raft, right? It's still a paddle by a single person. Most of the boats, there's some tandems or double boating going on, but most of it's a single passenger craft. An inflatable kayak, those boats are like 40 to 50 pounds and they're really long. They're really big. And if you roll one of those bad boys up, you're not really carrying a backpack. You're strapping it to your body all awkward. And so the ability to travel long distances is pretty reduced, pretty minimized. The pack rafts, those are also inflatable boats, but they weigh anywhere, between 6 and 14 pounds, and they pack down very small. Wow. It's amazing.
I'm surprised. Yeah, that's pretty light. Well,
it's very light. I've gone on ski trips where we're traversing glaciers and we bring pack rafts with us to paddle the river and then the ocean bay and then go back home. So it really is this cool multi-sport access tool. And that's originally how pack rafts, when inflatable kayaks were designed, it was just to go road boating. So I'm going to drive my car to the road. I'm going to blow the boat up. I'm going to go boating and I'm going to leave a car at the end. Hopefully I left the keys with the car and then I'm going to pack it all up and go home. But pack rafting is a different sport as in where the history came from, the history of pack rafting. I wrote about it in the Alaska Pack Raft Guidebook if you really want to unpack all the history details, but pack rafts really showed up in this wilderness race called the Wilderness Classic, where there's a start point and end point, and there's hundreds of miles of wilderness between it. And adventurers are trying to go from A to B, human powered. They can bike, they can paddle, they can run. They're usually backpacking. And then this race takes anywhere between like 3 and 10 days. And it's done in the Alaska sun, so people aren't sleeping. They're carrying as little gear as they can. It's pretty cool, lightweight, like minimalist mentality. And this guy, Dick Griffith, and another fellow, Roman Dial, started using pack rafts in these races. And they were at that time kind of like little Kmart blow up boats, little inflatable inner tube. This woman, Sherry Tingey, and her son, Thor, and these key players, Dick and Roman, they were doing these races, and Sherry was a boat designer. Thor's Sherry's son. They had these adventure crowds, and then Sherry was a sewer, and he's like, "Mom, can we make these boats better so we can do these trips better? Instead of having these inflatable inner tubes, can we make them more river appropriate, river specific?" And so it started off as this wilderness access tool, as these wilderness races to go from point A to point B. It's not like doing the Pacific Coast Trail or Continental Divide or the Appalachian Trail. It's an overland route through rugged terrain where there's tons of water crossings. Or you could paddle 40 miles of river instead of walking 40 miles next to the river. So that's where the sport came from. They have inflatable kayaking and pack rafting of very different backgrounds. And so pack rafting was originally this like multi-sport, really ultralight way to travel. But folks started getting into pack rafts and getting on rivers and were like, whoa, rivers are fun. Whitewater is cool. And this is awesome. And so the boat technology has been advancing like incredibly in the last 10 years to be really, really whitewater capable. People paddle waterfalls, they paddle class 5, which is very, very challenging, dangerous whitewater that things like kayakers are doing. And so with the advances that Thor and Sherry Tingey have done with their brand Alpaca, it's kind of birthed this sport. So it's still an inflatable vessel like an inflatable kayak, but it's got different potentials. And of course, and then the sport's blowing up with different styles of boats. Hunters use them to pack out their meat. Bikers use them to cross big rivers. There's a lot of different user groups outside of Alaska. Internationally, pack rafting is exploding. It was born here in Alaska, but it's definitely got a big global community now in a myriad of uses. Whereas inflatable kayaker, they're kind of just showing up, blowing up, floating the river, and then packing it up, if that makes sense.
No, it totally does. It's interesting because I wish I knew that over the weekend because we were talking about it with one of the campers over the weekend, and they were like, well, I've done inflatable kayaks, but they're always so heavy to pack around. But
ding, ding, ding.
yeah, that makes sense. Justin, I'm curious from your perspective, like, when did you first hear about pack rafting? What made you decide you wanted to do it? And then what was that first time like for you to get out on the water?
The first time I pack rafted was two summers ago. So when I first got up here, and some friends of the guy I was dating had just kind of, they were like, yeah, we do this thing called pack rafting, and we do it sometimes down like Campbell Creek, which is this creek that goes down through downtown Anchorage. And so that was the first place that I pack rafted. It's really like ratty old creek and kind of just cuts through all these neighborhoods and along the highway. And there's a lot of homeless camps right along the creek and stuff. It's like incredibly beautiful.
Urban
boating. Yeah. but it definitely like kind of tests your maneuverability and stuff, so you don't get don't pop your boat on a shopping cart or something. But that was my first time pack rafting, and then it just really jumped off. Like it just like I kind of went crazy from there, and just was like, I wonder if we could pack raft this little tiny creek that like nobody has done before, and there's like these little tiny creeks up in the mountains outside of Anchorage, and so we just kind of hiked out, and we're just scooting our boats like across the grassy water. Calling it a float, and then we're pack rafting big rivers down on the Kenai Peninsula and all kinds of stuff. And it just became an obsession, I think. Like I just was like every day. I didn't have a job in the summer, and so I was like every day I'm just out pack rafting something. It was never anything super crazy. It was a lot of just like, this is a really beautiful place and I want to spend a lot of time sitting here and I want to look around and I want to see it all and take it all in. But I also want to feel like I'm doing something while I'm doing it. So that was kind of my way into it all. Sorry, was there another question in there too?
No, that was good. You mentioned in the bio that we had that you like considered a spiritual experience. What's the time that a specific trip or outing that you remember that just really strongly impacted you and like really connected you to the outdoors and gave you the outdoor goosebumps?
There's a river down on the Kenai Peninsula, the Kenai River, that was always like to kind of to jump back to my childhood stuff. Like we always would go down and we'd fish on the Kenai River every summer when I lived here, all summer. Like every weekend we'd be down and we'd be fishing on this river. We'd be floating it with friends. We'd be down walking along it. We'd be on the beaches. We'd be camping there. The entire summer was just spent by the Kenai. And so anytime I pack raft the Kenai, it's like an instant, like takes me back. And I'm just like navigating. It's like very kind of whirlpool-y water. And it's like this really like kind of a glacial green, blue color that's super captivating. And it's super wide and it's not difficult to pack raft, but it just takes me back to my childhood. And so it's just kind of reconnecting with myself and the playful aspects of just like being a human and the opportunity to play and being in Alaska and explore and stuff. On another level, every time something goes wrong, I feel like I get really connected to the people that I'm with and I get really connected to the environment that's playing a role in things going wrong, quote unquote, like in the difficulties that we're facing and stuff. It's happened on the Kenai, which, where people go in, they get caught under sweepers and stuff and you have to help them out and try and collect their boat and their paddle and everything once it gets lost. And, on other rivers around Alaska, I think it's just really, and even just preparing and getting ready with people, it's connecting me to the people that I'm doing it with. It's connecting me with the environment. And I feel like you have to flow with the water and you have to kind of figure out how to be one with it if you want to move with it. And if you're not moving with it, you're smacking into every rock and you're smacking into every tree. And you kind of, yeah, I don't know. It's just a connection.
Ooh. There's some wisdom in there.
I know. For I was sure. thinking I like life analogies, right?
Yep.
Like,
I really want to hear where Jewel's head goes when she's pack raft.
All sorts of places. It's not where my head goes, where my heart goes. You know, to kind of piggyback off what Justin is saying, and I am a part of a really rich community of different floaters, so folks accessing rivers. And it's really, really interesting where, so, and I'm, you know, really into yoga and Ayurveda. And so there's five elements, right? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Ether's like the space between things or outer space. So those five elements pervade all of our environments in different levels. And in the water element, you know, yoga and Ayurveda suggest that water element holds and houses emotion. And so you're in the water. So you're like in your emotional self and you're out of your thinking mind, or I mean, you're thinking, but I'm not like, what am I going to eat for dinner? I didn't study for that test. Oh, I forgot to, you know, pay my credit card bill. You're so focused in, you know, in yoga, to meditate, we say the mind first has to concentrate, right? We get in a flow state. We have single pointed awareness. You can be washing your dishes. It doesn't need to be like a high octane adventure sport, but it is amazing how your mind calms down, slows down, even though you're in this like fluid, mobile environment. And to me, when I calm my mind down, when I quiet that chatter down, I am so in the present moment, that flow state. And that's something, the more I've boated, the more I paddle, like I am the river, you know, I can take the flow state with me. I don't need to be on the water to embody those traits. And water is so cool. It's one of any way that people love to explore nature is lovely. Water, though, is the medium is always changing. And if you're rock climbing, it stays fixed. Even if you're skiing snow, the snow is moving. Snow is water. It's just frozen. The snow moves. But if you're biking, right, the earth stays pretty stable. And so to be on, to have your medium be something that's constantly changing, requires the beginner's mind. And so I've, with the runs we work and we teach on with the Alaska Packraft School, I will paddle some of these creeks 100 times in a season, but every day is a new experience, right? Maybe there's a little more water over that rock. Maybe there's a new piece of wood in the river. I'm with new people. The weather's different. Water levels change. And so it really requires you to have the beginner's mind And I think having the beginner's mind, staying curious and open to the potential experience that you might not have is so beautiful and so cleansing. And it really, it's humbling. You know, I've been paddling these rivers for 20 years, but it's a new time every time. And I think it encourages us to be in the present moment, really connect with the actual water element, the actual river environment, but also who you're with. Because those buddies are going to, excuse my language, but like save your ass if you need help. And so like there's this inherent like family structure. You know, we call it the river family. It's a hashtag, the river family. And so you're connecting with the water. You're connecting with yourself because you're quieting your mind. And then you're connecting with the people involved with you while you're floating. And that to me is such a spiritual experience. And so yoga means connection. It means union. Right. I can connect with others. I can connect with God. I can connect with my boyfriend, my girlfriend. And when we connect with those things more, right, I love my boyfriend. I love my girlfriend. Well, then I can love all things. And so to me, water is a catalyst for you know, how I show up on the river is how I like to show up in life. That's been like, well, the river's got a lot of lessons. I've just began to learn them, just beginning to learn the lessons. That's a lifetime.
I love everything that you just said because it makes so much sense to me. And like, I've never been able to like really describe it, but love the beach, just sitting out and enjoying the vastness of the ocean. Like I grew up getting to go river rafting, kayaking, and there is always this indescribable kind of thing, this emotion when you're kind of out doing this, and the way you describe it is really, really fascinating, and I appreciate that. I did want to ask a question, and this is really for both of you. I know, Joel, you spent a lot of time sort of marrying the outdoors and the river with mental health and healing. I imagine Alaska is a super fantastic place to do that, but it's not exclusive to Alaska. So I guess for those of us who don't live there, who don't have like a gorgeous national park or whatever, to go and just chill and reconnect with ourselves, what are kind of your pro tips that's accessible for, you know, anybody?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. And I think, you know, folks like Justin and I are spoiled having raw wilderness right outside of our door. And that's not realistic for most people in the world, or especially, you know, in lots of parts of America that live in urban environments. So you think about what we get from nature. How can I bring that into my life? How can I bring it into my home? You know, can I have a garden? Can I bring, you know, leaves that fell off the tree outside? Can I arrange them in an intentional way on my dinner table? I can still connect with nature and not be in the wilderness, right? I can sit in my bathtub and like be in that body of water and notice the temperature and notice how it affects me. So those five elements I talked about, the earth, water, air, fire, ether, being present and mindful in natural environments. You can still be in a city. You can probably find a tree. You can probably take off your shoes and find some grass and ground in the earth. You can start a fire somewhere, hopefully somewhere legal. And then, you know, you can sit around the fire. You know, just usually a fire. You know, like my friends call it hippie TV. Like, can I just watch the fire? Like, because nature has these lessons, and just connecting with the natural element reminds us, you know, in yoga, we call it the universal consciousness. We're a drop in this ocean, whatever this ocean is, or, you know, whatever metaphor you want to use. And so how can I connect with the things? Like, we are nature. Right? Animals are nature. Humans are animals. So maybe noticing your animal, petting your cat, or noticing the birds outside. So I think connecting with any natural element, anything that brings you into the present moment. I always joke with my counseling clients when we're working with anxiety seldomly exists in the present moment. It's usually thinking about the future or ruminating in the past. So how can I be here now? And in nature, right? I don't need to be, you know, pack rafting off a waterfall to have it demand my attention. but can I, some people will take it to that extreme, but how can I take those mindfulness things and be present with the natural environment or bring more natural environment into my home? That's been a powerful thing. Or even, you know, shoot, if you're really like, I live in a cubicle, well, maybe you can make your screensaver into a fun, beautiful creek, you know?
Serious. Okay. Something, yeah.
Something.
But it's choosing to be intentional about it.
Intentional.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. Wherever attention goes, energy flows. Have you guys heard that one?
Yes.
So where do you want to store your
attention? That one down.
Uh-huh. JC, what are you thinking about all this? This is you've done regular rafting, but like pack rafting would be a totally different experience.
Like with what Jewel was saying about how, like what she's saying, like trails, when you go on the same trail, you're like your favorite trail, it's more or less going to give you the same experience. You're stepping on the same spots on the trail. So like things, you know, you get familiar with, you know, hikes that you've done in the past, and more or less it's the same experience. Maybe the weather's a little different. And I know when I go hiking sometimes, you know, because there's that familiarity, I can shut my mind off. And you know, not pay attention too much about where I'm going or, you know, what's ahead of me. But in, when your medium is changing, like what you guys are saying, like you really, it forces you to be present always. So, I haven't had a lot of opportunities, I guess, to experience something like that. I know for me, when I lived in California and then tried surfing, I feel like that was one of my biggest obstacles because it's just the conditions are you just, it has, it's timing, and you just kind of have to know the water to be one with it. I don't know, it's not something I have experienced enough, I guess, to understand it fully. But I love hearing about it.
Yeah, and we don't need to understand it. It's beyond our intellect. I think we feel it. And I think something, you know, what we do at the Packraft School, a lot of folks come to courses because they're scared of the water element, and it can be dangerous, right? I can't breathe underwater. I don't know about you guys. So there is some risk involved in swimming, in surfing, in any floating, or even being on a yacht, right? You can fall out. And so, so, you know, at the Packraft School, it's teaching people there are skills and ways that we can move our body, control our boat, use our paddle. There's ways to swim more effectively when you fall out of your boat. And I think a lot of folks just don't know these things. And so a big mission behind the Packraft School is in like a really fun and supportive environment. Like, we want to show you guys how to do this so you can, one of my big mantras is keep it fun. If you're not fun, you're doing it. If it's not fun, you're doing it wrong. So you don't need to be good at it. It's like, are you having fun? And so it's helping people have fun in, you know, however they want to be in the water. But even if you put a life jacket on, you go bop around in a pond, you know, that's relatively safe.
Yeah. It's funny that you went there, because I was going to ask this question. You know, like you said, on the water, you can't breathe underwater, and the sport itself does have its inherent dangers. I'll tell a story. My very, very first time that I went river rafting with my dad and my brother, they were releasing a ton of water out of the dam. I think it was classified class 3 at the time. And this is a Guadalupe River, so it's not known for like hardcore white water that you see, like, you know, the Grand Canyon or Colorado, for example. And, you know, we had helmets on, and like, I wasn't scared yet. Something happened at the end that there was the takeout point and a raft slammed into a bridge. Everybody was fine. Everybody's safe. Everybody, you know, it's all good. But that stuck with me. And so we came out again the next summer, going to be on the same rafts, same stretch of river, significantly less water. And my dad at that time had become trained as a river guide. And I was just absolutely petrified to go back out again because, well, you know, what if this and what if this? And, long story short, I'm glad that I went. I was still crazy nervous. But at the same time, that helped me kind of step through that fear and anxiety of the what if and learn to trust, my dad, for example, whose boat that I was in, and really, got to a point where I could enjoy it. And we went back several years and it was a blast. But I say all that because imagine, like you just said, that people come to y'all and there's some serious trepidation and second thoughts maybe, or wanting to back out. Best you can in podcast form, how would you kind of help quiet some of those fears
and
to feel good going on the river with you guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. And two, just in my background, I started off whitewater kayaking and I didn't know what to be scared of, beginner's bliss, right? Woo!
Sure.
just like the situation, with that first raft trip we had, it's fine, not fun, not fun. Very
That's accurate.
Yeah. And when we can't breathe like that, that is very scary. I've talked to hundreds of students that have had, and that they're having some PTSD because they've had what felt like a near-death experience because they didn't have an airway and they couldn't breathe. And a lot of students come in either having witnessed something very scary or have had a scary swim, or we call it entrapment, when your body gets stuck or your boat gets stuck somewhere that you don't want it to be. And that's an inherent risk in the river environment. So what we do, I say not quiet the fear. Let's lean into the fear. Like, what are you scared of? Okay. Let's identify it. So there's no such thing as a dumb question, and there's no such thing as like, we don't shame fear, but let's lean into the fear. Let's look at it. And what are you scared of? Okay. We'll unpack what's the potential of that happening? Can that happen? Okay. What if it does happen? In a therapy model and a river model, so what this could happen, then what, and now what? So then what, it happens. We actually practice those skills in the courses. And so for the LGBT outdoors pack rafting trip in Alaska, we will spend some time on the lake. Like, so if you fall out of your boat, and there's a saying, one of my mentors told me, we are all between swims. And that's the way it is. But it's like when you practice getting back in your boat or you practice swimming, holding onto your paddle, those things lose their fear. And I was a raft guide and I have fallen out of many boats and I've flipped many rafts and you can recover. That's like, these are skills. Like, what do you do when you fall off your bike? When you're driving, how do you hit your brakes? Then there's techniques and methods and tools. And eventually when we're learning and we're scared, we take it slow. Another one of my mantras is, let's just lower the bar. Let's practice these skills on something real easy. Let's get good at it. And then we'll slowly raise the bar, to where we can still keep it. We learners, teachers call it optimal arousal theory. That's when we learn and we have fun, where I am engaged. I feel safe, but I see the risk. I identify it and I avoid it. And that, to me, that is, I think what we do in the pack raft school is help people increase their skill set so they can increase their confidence so they can have fun. And I've been boating for 20 years and sometimes I'm still scared. I do a lot of wilderness medicine, and in these events where we're scared or we feel threatened, the saying is, stop and smoke a cigarette. You don't really have to smoke. No one's really like smoking many cigarettes, or if any at all. If someone's a smoker, they can still come. We can still smoke. But stop and smoke a cigarette. So let's just slow our roll down. And I've done like guided some yoga breathing on the river when someone's like having a panic attack. But if someone's scared, we slow it down, we address it, but like, how can we give you the skills to do the thing and then help you feel confident? And then how can we too, maybe you don't need to go down that line in the river. We can find an easier line that feels more fun, or maybe you walk around that thing because it's not fun for you. So I think lean into the fear and lower the bar.
I love that. And what's particularly cool about this is that, and it's been a while, but growing up and doing the river rafting, there was an unintentional sort of machismo about it, like be strong and blah, 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 blah. And what I'm getting from you is that, like, hey, come as you are, and we're going to meet you where you're at with all your excitement and all your nerves, and let's do this thing together. And I think that that's freaking beautiful. So I appreciate what y'all are doing.
I'm interrupting you. Can I have a quick note on that? You know, and that's our ego talking, right? I have to be big. I have to look cool. I have to be strong. And the river just smacks your ego backwards, right where it's upside down. And to the big and the strong part, I came into the sport with some imposter syndrome. I'm 5'2" and I weigh 120 pounds. Like, I'm not a giant human. But, you know, tiny people doing big things because we keep it fun and we work within our skill set.
Love it.
That's great. I love that you started touching on some of these things because, like, you know, like to get into the trip that we're going to be doing, it's easy to look at that and just be intimidated and overwhelmed by it, thinking, I don't know how to do this for one, and I've never been to Alaska, and now they're wanting me to do this crazy, amazing adventure, but I don't know how to do it. And that's one of the great things about this. Like you mentioned, the first day is going to be a learning and on still water, on a lake, where you get to start practicing and learning and implementing all these things before you actually get onto the river. And we aren't doing any crazy rapids to begin with on that. But no. I'd like Justin, you know, like to jump in for just a minute and kind of share from your point of view what you imagine this trip being like, some of the key things that you want to be sure that people know about it. But then Jewel, jump in and kind of finish, like, any details that Justin might not hit that you think that would be very beneficial for our listeners or anybody that's interested in joining us on the trip. But first of all, I'll say that the dates for this trip are July 16th through the 22nd. And all the information is on our website at lgbtoutdoors.com/adventure trips. But Justin, tell us a little bit what kind of your expectations are and what people can expect from a trip like this.
Yeah, so it kind of jumps off of that whole safety conversation, and a lot of that in my mind is because I've had those negative experiences, right, on the river where stuff's gone wrong. It's building that community and trusting the people that you're with and really knowing that everybody's like there to support each other. And I think that's pretty similar to LGBT Outdoors as a community and as an organization in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of trusting and supporting each other and being ready to like help hold people up or reach down and support somebody and help somebody up in any way, right? So that everybody can kind of feel safe in their circumstances. And I think that pack rafting has created that for me in my life. And that's kind of something that I would love to be able to foster in other people's lives and for people to then continue to spread. So that other people can continue to spread that around to all of their own communities. So both a community building experience, and all of the stuff that we've kind of talked about with like mental health and finding your flow and all of that stuff and building skills and experiencing this incredible place in a really unique way, and kind of just being willing to go with the flow. The trip will change as the weather changes, as the rivers change, as everything changes, as people have different desires or the group discusses things. It's all very malleable. That's kind of what I'm envisioning.
What is the, go over a little bit of what the itinerary looks like briefly. Like, obviously, like you just said, things can change depending on weather and river levels. And, you know, I'm sure there's 100 different reasons why the schedule could potentially change. As kind of a 1,000-foot view of what potentially the schedule could look like. I'm not going too deep in it because, again, it's on the website too, so people can check it out, but kind of a general overview of it.
Yeah, totally. So everybody kind of arrives in Anchorage and we get together. We're staying at an Airbnb in Anchorage that first night and connecting with each other and having dinner together, talking about what gear we've got, what gear we need to pick up, what gear we need to kind of, we need to borrow from other people, whatever we need to do, and kind of pinning down where we're at as a group. And then the next day we start with pack rafting on the lake with Jewel, and we start kind of building all those basic skills and just kind of getting comfortable in these new boats that probably most of us have never been in, and what that feels like and how we use our paddles and just kind of establishing a communication basis. And then we move on to some, basically like a moving lake. It's one of the rivers that we're planning on doing at the beginning. It's just flat, smooth water, not moving super fast, and there's not a lot of obstacles because it's sufficiently wide that you're not going to be bumping into the sides or avoiding trees and stuff. And so you can kind of just practice moving, like being on moving water. And then we build kind of from there. There's a bunch of different river options and stuff and kind of lean into what other people, whatever level people are at, and move on from there to different rivers.
That's great. And we didn't actually mention this, but Justin and Jewel will both be guides for us on this river, this trip. So they're both going to be right there with us, helping us along, being able to make sure that everybody's safe, knows what we're doing, and having an awesome time. Jewel, what else would you like to throw in there about the trip itself that you think would be good for people to know?
I want to echo everything Justin said. It's an opportunity, you know, so it's an opportunity to connect with other adventurers in an environment that they're, you know, open to be impressed by. the rivers and the mountains, and I call it the Alaska factor, right? That's a phrase that got coined a long time ago. You know, really marvel in the Alaska factor and then the human factor. And then the pack raft factor, and, you know, where, you know, Justin, you know, he works for me, he's a friend of mine. So, you know, I'm stoked to, team up with Justin and you guys, LGBT Outdoors, to co-create this adventure environment where I think Alaska has magic. And so we are your guides and we are your friends to help you explore this magical environment and learn a new way to travel. There's pack rafting outside of Alaska. It's all over the world. And maybe, you know, this will be the spark to a new fire, and you'll integrate pack rafting in your outdoor experiences, or maybe not. Maybe you're like, oh, okay, not for me, but the humans you meet, the humans you meet and the nature you experience, well, that'll be, you know, what you talk about and take home.
Yeah.
Or maybe like the meals we cook together. You know, I don't know.
Like, there's so many, I don't want to get super sales pitchy here, but like, first, most of us have not been to Alaska. Mm-hmm. And so we get to go, we get to see and experience what you see, like the raw nature and the magic that Alaska's got. But also the community and also the education and the experience of pack rafting. I think it just sounds freaking amazing. I'm looking at it on the website right now. There's plenty of FAQs down at the bottom. And of course we can answer questions, that anybody has as far as what's going on with the trip. And if we don't have the answer, we will absolutely find the correct answer for you. But this is really, really, really awesome.
Yeah. And to throw it out, everything's included too once you get there. So your ticket to Anchorage and back home is not included. But once you're in Anchorage, your food, lodging, transportation, the equipment, our guides, everything is included. So it's going to be a great time for sure. In wrapping up, JC or Patrick, do you have any final questions or anything for Justin or Jewel?
I am very, very hopeful, and I would love to be able to meet you guys in July. I'm going to try really, really, really hard to make that happen.
Please come. Please come. I want to meet you guys too. I think I can speak for Justin. We're really friendly folks. You can reach out to us at the Alaska Packraft School at gmail.com email account if you have questions or want to have a phone conversation with us. We'd love to answer people's questions or unpack the trip more. And we're both on Instagram. We're on the Alaska Packraft Instagram page. You can shoot us a message or follow us for fun photos and videos. Justin's is the gay camper, but feel free to reach out to us and ask us questions or pick our brains about the trip if you're him and Han and wondering if it's an experience for you.
Awesome. And I'll make sure that those links are in the show notes attached to this episode.
I don't have any questions, but I know that trip is going to be incredible, you guys. I'm really excited to see all the pictures and the videos, and it's going to be a great time, I'm sure. I like what Patrick was saying. I think the by default of just going to Alaska, like to start with just that, it's going to make it incredible for a lot of people who, you know, have never experienced it. So it's gonna be a lot of fun,
and getting to be guided by, you know, Jewel and Justin, just sitting here chatting for the last hour or so, seeing like the warmth and genuine sincerity and kind of this heart coming through, those are people that I would love to spend a week with in Alaska.
So me too. Oh, wait, yeah. I get to.
You could have a very knowledgeable instructor, right? But like if you can tell that like their heart's not in it, or like they're not passionate about it, like that really makes a difference.
Yeah. No, I'm super excited for it. Justin or Jewel, do you have any final thoughts that you would like to share before we wrap up?
I'm so excited for this trip. I'm excited for summer and all things Alaska, but this trip has got a special spot in my heart, and I'm really, really excited to be a part of the LGBT community and get folks experiencing Alaska, meeting new adventurers, and trying out a new sport. And I've had a lot of fun hanging out with you guys in this podcast, so thank you.
Likewise.
Awesome. Yeah, same here.
Yeah, same. I'm just really excited to kind of get going for the summer, and I'm super stoked for this trip, and I'm excited to get better at pack rafting for this trip and during this trip, and to meet really cool people. And just there's nothing quite like sharing this place with new people that have never seen it and helping them kind of experience the things that you love. And this is very much that for both Jewel and I. And I think it's going to be a magical experience, however it turns out.
Amen, brother.
Love it. So cool. And I just want to give you all a big thanks for joining us today on the podcast and being able to show your passions for Alaska and obviously pack rafting on there, and Patrick and JC for helping co-host today. It's been great. I think if nothing else, it will hopefully give our listeners some dreaming to do with Alaska, and hopefully we get, you know, a great group to come along with us on this great adventure, and we get to experience Alaska together. For any of you that are listening to this, again, if you want to learn more about LGBT Outdoors or the trip, go to lgbtoutdoors.com. And if you want to learn about the trip, just do a / adventure trips on the end of that. Side note, we do have registration open for LGBT Outdoor Fest. It's going to be September 12th through the 15th in Colorado. So you can find out about that. Check out to see if we have a local chapter in your area. If we don't, or if we do and you are interested in being an ambassador, you can learn more about that as well on our website. So we thank you for tuning in again. And until next time, get out there. Thank you again for joining us this week. If you have a campfire conversation story you would like to share, please email it to us at info@lgbtoutdoors.com. Follow us on Instagram at lgbtoutdoors and join the community at facebook.com/groups/lgbtoutdoors. Become a partner by joining our Patreon, where you'll gain access to monthly bonus stories and exclusive content. For more information on today's episode, check out the show notes. For information about LGBT Outdoors, LGBT Outdoor Fest, local chapters, or to sign up for our newsletter, visit lgbtoutdoors.com. And if you're enjoying the show, please rate, review, and follow wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you.